this text that Terry read, verses, I think, 6 through 10, we're actually going to share a few of the other verses that are in this passage, but those are the main verses that I've chosen for this text today. And this text includes the entire Trinity. If you look closely at it, it has Holy Spirit, the Son, Jesus, and the Father. Now, that's a reverse order, but it shows all of them involved in this work of divine guidance, giving us direction. And that is why I have entitled this message, Empowered for Guidance, because we're in the season of Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit came, when the Holy Spirit fell, He provided what we needed for our lives, our spiritual lives. And one of those facets, one of those things, is guidance, divine direction. In the Old Testament, God guided various spiritual leaders. In fact, He gave His words to prophets directly. That's how we got the Bible. But in the New Testament, God empowers all of His people with guidance, giving them direction, divine guidance. Peter quotes from Joel chapter 2 in his sermon on the in Acts after the Holy Spirit fell and everybody was rushing around asking questions. He said this. He quoted Joel the prophet. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. In other words, they will be my messengers. Dr. William Sheldon was a psychologist and he wrote a book called Psychology and the Promethean Will. I don't know what all that book's about, but this is a quote from it. Continued observations lead almost invariably to the conclusion that deeper and more fundamental than sexuality, deeper than the craving for social power, deeper even than the desire for possessions, there is a still more generalized and more universal craving in the human makeup. It is the craving for knowledge of the right direction, for orientation. Every system of philosophy, whether called religious or not, is at bottom a human attempt to satisfy the craving to be pointed in the right direction. In the right direction. Without divine revelation, life loses its meaning. And without divine direction, we get lost. The right direction is always the one in which God leads us. It's always the one in which God leads us. And often, and this is my first point, often the Holy Spirit has to begin, God's Spirit has to begin with the obstruction of our own plans, obstructing our own plans, sort of like diverting us from those plans. Now, if God keeps us from the good, in other words, there's a good thing I've planned, you know, I've planned this good thing. If God keeps us from the good, then He must have something better planned. We've got to think that way. In verse 6 it says, they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word. Now, we say, well, kept from preaching the giving the gospel is the best thing we can do. Is it always the best thing? Is it always? In this case, it was not. And so our zeal, sometimes we're very zealous with the gospel. And sometimes by our gospel zeal, we can drive people away because we have not listened to the timing and planning of the Lord. We've not got ears to listen. We're just so caught up in our zeal that we maybe are sharing at the wrong time. This was probably the case with Paul and his team. Paul and his ministry team, they saw the great need that was in Asia. They saw it. They said, wow, this is a needy place. Let's go there and let's preach the gospel and help these people. And they wanted to reach out. But in verse 7, it says, the Spirit of Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit, you got Jesus, and you actually got God the Father also doing this. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to do it. Jesus prevented them from going and reaching out to these people that are needy. We say, this doesn't seem right. God's guidance may not go according to our understanding, but it is the best guidance. It's the way to go. I sometimes shared about this lady. I really love her ministry. She is now at an age where she can no longer minister, but she has a team that continues to minister in this area. And it's to help people with sexual problems. It's a gigantic seminar that she would speak, and her ministry team would speak. They were actually all lesbians and homosexuals who had been healed. And they were actually ministering for people's sexual needs. Not just those needs, but there was something called misogyny. Misogyny is called the hatred of women, or a dysfunctional view of womanhood. And what has happened in the Asian culture, many times, except for one part of the Asian culture, which is the one that's been touched most by the West, and that's the Philippines. Except for the Philippines, all the rest of the Asian culture, women are put down. You'll never find them getting up and speaking. I did see one, before she died, I saw this one lady, who her name was Lois, and she actually got up and spoke. She was Japanese. And it was like the biggest step in her life as far as coming forth and into the power and authority of Christ. And she did that, and it was a wonderful thing. But generally, in the Eastern Asian countries, and it's interesting, Paul was prevented from going into Asia, not the Asia we're talking about, the Far East, but the Asia of his day. He was prevented from going there. And so was Leanne Payne. She prayed, these people need my message. She had a powerful ministry of healing misogyny in women. Women who had imbibed their own hatred. We're no good. I mean, we're low class. You know, we'll never be anything. We'll never come to the front. It's always the men that'll be there. You know, that's how they think. And they're taught to think that way. They imbibe it. They devour it. And then it devours them. Well, in the seminar that I was in, there were all these Asian girls. They were all from this Chinese church. You know, Chinese church. They were just all over the place. When it came time for the healing of misogyny, it was so powerful. I saw women get healed of this. And it was just an amazing thing. This woman is very intellectual, and when she lectures, she's very intellectual. She talks about psychology and principles and philosophy and the biblical things, theology. But when it came to healing, she would be like a little child, and she would just invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. She would pray several times before she ever began praying. And then, I tell you, the power of God fell. And you would say, well, this ministry needs to be taken to Asia. And she said, every single time, on my knees, praying, God, I want to go to Asia to help them. They called for us to come. And the Lord said, no. No. Now, why? Not the right time. There will be a time, I believe. And it wasn't Leanne Payne that was going to, maybe it's her ministry team at some that time that will go there. But sometimes God has to obstruct our own plans so that He can give us something better. And when God does obstruct our plans, it's not time to quit seeking guidance. It's time to continue to seek guidance. Paul had an appointment with a dream. He had an appointment with a dream so that dream could show him the way to go and give him direction. And if we fail to get it right in seeking guidance, it's not time to quit. It's time for us to continue on seeking guidance, not stop seeking it. You know, students are not expelled when they fail a test. Their teachers continue to guide them so that they will pass the test, so that they will succeed. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and He's committed as a teacher. And that's our second point. He's committed to opening up God's will for us. What is God's will for us to do? What does He want to do with our lives? In verse 9, it says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. I sort of wanted to choose this, after I got the bulletin or the worship folder printed it, I want to say, well, there's another song that has that in it. It's called Send the Light. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, you know. And I thought, yeah, a Macedonian call. That's what Paul received. And this was where God opened up blessing. God opened up blessing. The Holy Spirit does speak to us in various ways. Sometimes in dreams, sometimes in visions, maybe in a persistent thought, a mental picture that we get. Maybe it's a Bible passage that we're reading from. I have to tell you that many of the poems that I have written, they have come in a thought that just grabs my mind, and I cannot let go of it until I've written the poem. Or some rare occasions, I have had it right out of a dream, almost like a vision that I had to put down in writing. And that's one of the things that I have in my own life that is an avenue. And sometimes sermons have been that way with me, to bring out a point. Well, guidance does not cancel our minds, our intelligence. In fact, what it says here in verse 10, concluding that God had called us. Coming to a conclusion is a mental, rational, intellectual process. God does not cancel our minds when He gives us guidance. What He does, He expects us to work with our minds to interpret and understand the guidance. And so, concluding that God had called us. Now, common sense, we say common sense, but common sense, I say, what a weird dream. Maybe it was something I ate, you know? And that's what, you know, common sense says. A lot of people say that. But divine guidance must be part of Christian logic. It must be worked into our logic, how we think about life, our worldview is about a world where there is a God of light, a God who lights our pathway to give us direction through this life. That's the kind of God we have, and therefore that's the kind of logic. We need to have a worldview of this world that way. God wants to guide us and give us direction. Maybe this is God giving me a direction through this dream. Sometimes I believe that's the case. Paul's response was immediate. It was immediate. In verse 10 also, he says, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia. But what if this impression is not right? What if my impression in my mind is not right? I could be wrong in this. You know, we often question ourselves like that. But it's better to be wrong about a direction than to be wrong in not following a right one. You know? And sometimes in following a wrong direction or a thing you take to be wrong, you've not really lost anything. But if you miss God's right direction, you have lost something. That's very precious. Sometimes we don't get another opportunity. Sometimes God does give us another opportunity. I've been very slow sometimes to respond to impressions. And sometimes I have to hear it 3 or 4 times before I say, okay, all right, I get it. I've got to do this. This is something I need to do. But that's a problem with us, because His guidance may cover a very small window, a very small time frame, and we don't know when that window will close. So He may be giving us a direction that the window may close. There was an evangelist, and I'll always remember this story, because it was told by the evangelist that I heard it from. He had felt led to share the gospel with a waitress that he was at this restaurant, and he left the restaurant sort of like, no, I must not be from God, and he just left the restaurant. But as he was walking farther down the street, it took him a little time to get back. He felt, I need to go back there. He was convicted in his heart. I need to go back there. I need to witness to this lady. But when he got back there, he found out that she had just committed suicide. His door of opportunity had closed. It was a very narrow window for the guidance. You know, God, if we feel conviction from the Holy Spirit, we should be like Paul. At once be obedient. Not just to deliberate too much and say, you know, I'm going to learn how to listen, and I'm going to learn how to respond. And the more I learn how to respond to the listening I've done, the more clear I'm going to hear. And that's really the case. But his opportunity closed. And the conviction of the Holy Spirit about doing something. We need to do what he says, because our obligation in this whole thing of guidance is simply to follow direction. Simply to follow directions. So what did God guide Paul and his team? It was a whole team that was there. Actually, Luke was on that team. That's why he's writing about it. That's a personal we, he says in it. But what was he guiding them to do? He was guiding them, in verse 10 it says, "We got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel." We were going to go preach the gospel elsewhere, but no, he wanted the gospel preached there. They became his messengers. And God has not stopped empowering his people to be his messengers. We are his mouth, his voice. We're supposed to speak for him, and therefore we must listen to him speaking to us. Spirit-empowered guidance leads to Spirit-empowered ministry. And there is a rest of the story to this story. And it's not in the scripture text, but I'm going to read it from verse 13 through 15. "On the Sabbath," when they had gotten to Macedonia, "on the Sabbath we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was also a worshiper of God." In other words, she was a Jewish convert. "The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and she and the members of her household were baptized." Here God was opening up an opportunity, and that opportunity began to spread to what is the Philippian church. So, does God still guide his people? We look at this and we read scripture and we say, "Oh yeah, that was nice. It was in the book of Acts." Well, that's the book of Acts. The book of Acts is very interesting. When you read the book of Acts, it ends as if it doesn't end. It ends as, and then what? And then us. The rest of the time that we've been on this planet, the church has been the book of Acts. We're still in it. So does God guide his people? And the answer is yes. And I want to give a modern example. And because it's such a good story, I'm going to actually read it. It is I sort of shortened it a little bit because it's a long story. And I believe I got it out of Guidepost with the story of a young man. A young man who was in a Bible study on obeying the voice of God, he wondered, does God still speak to people? He and some friends discussed this question afterwards. Some told stories of being led by God in different ways, and it was very late when he left for home. But as he sat in his car, he prayed this prayer: "God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I'll do my best to listen and obey." On his way down the town's main street, he had a strange impression: buy a gallon of milk. He asked aloud, "God, is that you?" At getting no reply, he continued driving. But again came the thought, buy a gallon of milk. "Okay, God, in case it is you, I'll buy the milk," he prayed, thinking it might be just a test of obedience. He could always use the milk anyway. So he stopped, bought the milk, and again started home. As he passed 7th Street, he felt an urging, turn down that street. "This is crazy," he thought, and drove on. But the urging came back, so he turned around and went down 7th Street. After driving several blocks, he suddenly felt he should stop, and he did so. This was not the best-looking neighborhood, semi-residential with lots of small businesses all closed. Again, he sensed something. "Go give the milk to the people in the house across the street." The house looked dark, and so he prayed, "Lord, this is insane. Those people are asleep. If I wake them up, they'll get mad and I'll look stupid." But again, he felt he should go take them the milk. Finally, he left the car and walked across the street praying this: "Okay, God, if this is you, I'll go give them the milk. If I look crazy, okay. But if they don't answer right away, I'm out of here." When he rang the bell, a man's voice yelled out, "Who is it? What do you want?" Before he could get away, the door opened, and there stood a man in his jeans and t-shirt. He didn't look too happy about seeing a stranger on his doorstep. "What is it?" The young man thrust out the gallon of milk. "Here, I brought this for you." The man took the milk and rushed down the hallway, speaking loudly in Spanish. Soon a woman came down the hall, carrying the milk toward the kitchen. The man was following her, holding a crying baby. The man, with tears streaming down his face, explained, "We ran out of money this month and had no milk for our baby. I was just asking God to show me how to get some milk." His wife in the kitchen yelled at, "I asked him to send an angel with some. Are you an angel?" The young man decided to put all his money he had on him into the man's hand, and he went back to his car with tears in his own eyes, knowing that God still answers prayer and that he still speaks to his people. That's quite a story. And we say, wow. But I've read other stories like that that are just sometimes even a little bit more powerful than that story. That was very powerful. But the right direction is always the direction in which God leads us. Not just our good thinking, but what God leads us to. He led Paul's ministry team. He led this young man and many other people, and he wants to lead us. And we might say, how can we do this? Well, I always say, sometimes you have to experiment in these kinds of new things that you might be learning. And one of the ways, a simple way, that God can guide us is laying people on our heart. He might lay a person on our heart. In our minds, we might hear their names or see their faces or remember something, an event about them in our lives. And the important thing is to follow what God wants us to do with that guidance. It might just be to pray a prayer. It might be he wants us to visit them or to give them a gift or give them a message from him. We have to pray and do it and leave the rest to him. Now that's pretty simple. Or it's not so simple. It's not so simple if we have to overcome our doubts about God speaking to us. Then it becomes very, very difficult. It was a little bit. We can see in that young man kept on. He said, "Oh, it can't be God," and he had to come back again. He had to come back again to that where he was being led by God. And if we have these doubts about God speaking to us, we can overcome them. Many times, it's what just by reading a passage in the Bible, like this passage here, or hearing a story like that. Actually, you think about it. The whole Bible, what is it? It's God's revelation to us. It tells many, many stories. And in those stories, and sometimes directly, God gives us guidance. How we should live. How we should think. How we should finish our lives. And so, he really does. We may have doubts about it, but the Bible shows that he really does speak to us. He wants to do it, speak to us personally, just as we speak to him personally in prayer. And let's close with prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your word. It gives us so much insight into life, and into especially the Christian life, because, Lord, we're not just about doing our own thing in this life. We're about doing kingdom living. We're about doing the work of the King. We are servants. We are not kings of ourselves, having a dominion of our own. Lord, we are your servants in a larger kingdom, a kingdom that will overcome all the kingdoms of the world and pass into eternity, where your reign will be complete in over the whole universe. I pray, Father God, that you might give us a real hunger for your guidance, that we will want to listen to you, that, Lord, we will learn the lessons of how to listen, how to be quiet, how to quiet down our hearts and let the Holy Spirit speak. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.